Psalms. We're going to be in Book of Psalms this morning, the 92nd, 93rd, and 94th division. Last Sunday, we looked at the Psalms of Degree. There was 15 of those. We just had time to do a summary of them. And, of course, they sang those many, many different ways, but one way I'm convinced they sang those Psalms of Degree was, remember, the Bible tells us that every Jew was commanded to go to the house of the Lord three times a year. Many of them had to travel, some of them down from Jericho, down below sea level, some of them below sea level around the Sea of Galilee, but they were traveling to Jerusalem, and as they went, several days' journey, some of them, they were singing those Psalms. And God so fixed it that I believe he parted those into three divisions. The number three, of course, is God's number, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And each one of those had five, the number of grace. So as we're journeying for the Lord, no matter what phase of the journey in, whether you just started your journey with the Lord or you're midway through it, and there again, you don't know what midway is because you may have been saved 15 years, but you don't necessarily know you're going to have 15 more. So somewhere in their journey, but then to the end of it when they got to the house of the Lord. And one of these golden daybreaks when Jesus comes, takes us home to be with him, we'll be there to the final. But as I was studying those, what I do is I have in the vehicle I'm driving the Bible. You know, nothing better than the Bible. That's my commentary. Just over and over and over, I listen to the Word of God being read. And as you listen to it, over and over, I'm talking about bunches of times, then you see things and you hear things you've never heard before. And this week as I was listening to Psalms 92, 93, and 94, over and over and over, God gave me a message. We're going to look this morning how he tied those three together. Now, in Psalms 92, we see that it addresses us in the very first verse, Psalms 92, a psalm or a song for the Sabbath day. Of course, the Jews had a Sabbath day. That was Saturday. That was yesterday. But we, children of God, we worship on the Lord's day, the day he arose from the dead. So this is the Lord's Day, but they were dressed. That was a song for the Sabbath day. But it seems to me as I was listening to it over and over and over how he tied those three together. Another song, another song. We sang beautiful songs this morning. Thank you for all those songs and these precious young ladies that were so talented singing those two songs. And I'm just amazed at the talent God gives people, and he gives it to those that will use it. And we're blessed this morning by the talent God has given. But let's just look at the Word of God this morning as we look at a song in their heart. Now, we've listened, and I've convinced as I was listening to the Bible over and over, and I hope you do too, but the more you listen to a particular thing, whether it's the Word of God or something else, that's what's going to be on your mind. And the reason I'm listening to the Word of God is I want that to dwell in my heart and on my mind. But I'm sure all this week and last week and the week before probably, in their spare time, we were probably listening or watching the newscast about the terrible things going on in the Ukraine by the Russians attacking them and trying to demolish. It reminds me of Hitler. None of us were born, no doubt, when Hitler started his invasion. But it seems like, you know, history kind of repeats itself. So we're praying, and we will pray this morning before we close, for the country of the Ukraine. But that's on your mind. So as because you've heard it over and over and over. If you listen to the Word of God over and over, that's on your mind. And whatever you think of most of the time, that's what's going to be on your mind. So on your mind this morning as we came to the house of God, no doubt most every one of us was reminded somewhere along the journey of the terrible things that's happening. And then it affects us, does it not? It affects us because we see the economy is really bad and inflation, and people in America are hurting. People have to travel a lot. They can't afford to travel. They're paying almost twice more for gasoline than they were not all that long ago. So we're hurting, and that's on our mind. Well, let's look at the Word of God, and let's see how he can help us this morning, because the title of the message is the song that Brother Randy led us, Our God Reigns. So let's let that get on our mind this morning. A lot of other troublesome things are on our mind. But if we could overwhelmingly let that thought be in the forefront of our mind, our God reigns. Let's see what the psalmist said, and we're just going to have time to scan these, of course. But then the first five verses of Psalms 92, psalm or song for the Sabbath day. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto the name, thy name, O Most High, to shew forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. For thou, Lord, hath made me glad. Through thy word I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. We'll look first of all at the prevailing attributes of our sovereign Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How they prevailed. The psalmist said over and over about he was going to rejoice and he was going to have tribute or give thanks and give adoration and an occasion to give thanks unto God for his works. So that thought prevails in their heart. And let's re-look at that this morning. Verse 4. For thou, Lord, hath made me glad. When you think about the things of God and how good he's been to us, and the psalmist is doing that. This is a song they sang on the Sabbath. And let that be our song this morning and every day when we go to bed at night, when we rise in the morning. The things of God that we read and study and realize how awesome he is and how he saved us and how he secured us, how he's taken care of every need, it makes us glad. We rejoice in that. So that should be the prevailing thought of our heart. The psalmist says, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Then in verse 2, to shew forth thy loving kindness in the morning, thy faithfulness every night. It seems as though he let those thoughts prevail in his heart more than anything else, the goodness of God. And then he said, we rejoice in that. So they sang it on the Sabbath. And it would do our hearts good to have that kind of attitude all the day long when we're hearing about the things of the world that makes us sad. And we can't do a lot about it. We're in this world, but we're certainly not of it. Just pilgrims and strangers passing through. But as we're passing through this world of sorrow and all the bad things are going on, and rest assured, they'll get worse. Why? I'm not a bearer of bad news. I'm just saying what God says. In the last days, perilous times shall come. The Lord's soon coming. And if we, as our lives remain, will be caught up. That is, if you're saved. But we're going through all these struggles, all these heartaches. And our mind starts dwelling on it. And when it dwells on that, we push aside the things about the gladness of God. But the psalmist said if we sing about it, if we rejoice in it, if we pay tribute to the God of heaven, he will make our hearts glad. Look at verse 1. It is a good thing. What could be better than to think about the things of God and how he created the world? And everything he created was good. Over and over he said, and he looked at that day and it was good. And I'm reminded of the fact that God can do nothing but good. And so if I think about the good things of God, how he reached down, just think about where we would be if we didn't have him. If we did not have him, and the ability Brother John testified this morning about, you know, where would he be without the church? Miss Becky served the church so faithfully. And we could write books about how she prevailed and how she was anything, you know, even this morning she'd be out there answering the phone and taking care of the needs. It wasn't her job on Sunday, but that she just loved the church. And so we're glad, but where would we be without the church? Where would we be without one another? No wonder the Bible says, fail not to assemble yourselves together in the manner some has. We'll assemble ourselves because we sing the songs of Zion. We lift up our voice to him and we come in one accord. And if one has a need, we heard this morning from the Howard family how they had a need. The father went on to be with the Lord. But I'm so thankful for the church and this church family. how you represent yourselves to those in need. We've had so many funerals in the last several months. I can't even remember to count all the many funerals. It's a sad thing. But at the same time, those people, as John says, are at home with the Lord because they were redeemed. They were saved. And I'm so pleased with the church and the church family. The funeral director at Miss Becky's funeral, we had a graveside. He came to me, had been serving a long time. He said, "This is the second most people I've ever seen at a graveside funeral." That's a good representation of a church family. He said, "The only one I ever remember more was when a patrolman or a trooper got shot and the whole community came out." But wasn't that great that people from our church, other churches came? It's a good thing to praise God, and we praise God by helping one another, and we rejoice. When things are good, we rejoice with them, and then when people have problems, we pray for them, and we give our hearts to the Lord, and we try to help meet their needs. But the only way we can meet their needs is to come Jesus' way, God's way. We looked at the prevailing thoughts of the workings and the sovereignty of God, but I want to look next of all at the power and authority. Let's turn to the next chapter. The power and authority that is and belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we have these prevailing thoughts about all his workings. And we go to God in prayer, and we already know what we want. And we tell him what we want. And then we almost, sometimes, if you're like me, forget to say, "Lord, this is what I want. But according to your will." That's kind of a little phrase that in the back of our mind, but we don't always say it. But God knows your heart. But we realize that God's will is perfect and God's way is perfect. And so we look to him. We tell him our needs. He already knows them, but he wants us to come to him in humility, in humbleness, in brokenness. And when we address God, "Hallowed be thy name," it helps us to realize who he is. And when you get your eyes on him, Isaiah did that, remember? "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." I don't know if it was a national tragedy that led him to look at the Lord, but we realize that he did look at the Lord, and when he saw the Lord, he saw himself. And then we saw himself, he got his mind on what God could do for him, and he allowed God, and then he was willing, "Lord, send me." And when we start meditating and let our thoughts prevailing on the things of God, and then we look at the power and authority he has. Let's look at Psalms 93 verse 1. "The Lord reigneth." We just sang that song. "The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he has girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved." God is sovereign. God is able to do anything. And we dwell on that. The previous chapter told us we dwell on the greatness of God, the attributes of God, how he created the world, his workmanship. And we let that dwell in our mind, that the God that's big enough to create this world, in the book of Genesis, in the beginning God, Elohim, the one that doesn't need a means. He's just big enough to say, "Let it be," and it is. That's the kind of God we serve. If our minds could prevail on the greatness of God and on the authority of God and the powerfulness of God, it seems to me as though our problems, although they may be great, would kindly take second place or maybe third place in their heart. And when we allow those problems to take second, third place in our heart, then we're thinking about him and his power. And the psalmist said, as he sang that song, "My heart was glad." We can be glad and rejoice. And you know what gladness brings? Gladness brings peace. There is peace. Jesus, when he was leaving and he was in the room with his disciples, he addressed them with, "My peace I have given to you." And as he was leaving, he said, "My peace I leave with you. Not as I give my peace to you, not as the world giveth, but I give my peace." When we start meditating and concentrating and dwelling and letting our minds prevail on the things of God, and we see his power, we see his strength, and then we see as he reigneth, he's clothed with righteousness. There's nothing what he can do. And if we dwell on that, it gets our minds in the background of all their problems. They're still there, maybe. But as long as the Lord is walking with us through that, he said, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake you. He is our counselor. He is our advocate. He's the one seated beside the Father that when we sin, when we have needs, we pray. The Holy Spirit takes that prayer to, and intercedes to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our advocate. And know how we make mistakes. We make blunders. James says, if any man know to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. None of us here this morning or nowhere in the world could say, I've done everything I should do this week. I've read all I need to. I've prayed. I had enough compassion. I've done everything. We've not done all we know to do. And then the Bible says, O man, thou art without excuse. So in humility and in humbleness, I say, O God in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And after I address him in that manner, and get my mind on him and his power and his strength, my mind starts prevailing on the things of God, and I see that he is power, he is strength, and he is reigning. See, and a lot of people ask questions, if God is reigning, how come this and how come that? Well, that's a sin. That's the reason sin is in this world, because of man's sin. And God says he makes promises. His promises are because he says, if I make a promise, there's a provision to it. If you will do what I say you do, then I'll keep this promise. God's promises always are to us, but then he gives us something to do also. Let's read the verse of scripture in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. The Bible says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. God reigneth. He has power and he has strength. And all strength and all power in heaven and in earth. God the Father gave it to the Son. Let's read some text in Romans chapter 15. We see that God, in his mercy, in his tender love, has given us the ability to sing praises to his name, even when we don't deserve it. God has given us all that we need. And let's read chapter 13, verse 1, 2, and 3. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Let their minds prevail on that, dwell on that. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Why does bad things happen? Why does all the things that we hear about on the news happen? Verse 2 pretty well sums it up. He's power, and when people don't look to him and dedicate themselves to him, then he said, therefore, they resist the power. What happens when they resist the power? Receive to themselves damnation. God gives us opportunities. If we look to him and say, God, your all power, let your power, let your strength be in me. Let my mind prevail on that. Think about that. That power, that strength, the glory of God. And then he promises that he would enable us to do everything. But if he resists the power, very, very clearly states themselves destruction. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Gives us a choice. Gives the world a choice. Do that which is good and pleasing to God, and it won't be your will or mine. It'll be his will in their life. Once we submit to that and we yield to that and we say, God, to thee be the glory. If everything in their life was done to bring him glory and honor, it would be a different world for you, for me also. We have to hurry. Not only the power and authority, but I want, next of all, in the next chapter, chapter 94. We see the song continues now. The song, first of all, has been prevailing and letting the good things of God dwell in your mind, and then we concentrate on our minds on Him. Now we see the power He has. But now we're going to look at how the song was leading into prevailing to understand God's plan. And that's a good question. God, you have a plan. So look carefully at how the psalmist pleaded to God to unveil His plan. He asked questions, and it's okay to ask questions. But assuredly, you'll find the answer to those questions if you keep reading, and we'll do that. Verse 1, chapter 94. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, shew thyself. Lord, how long shall the wicked, triumph? No doubt we ask that question daily, sometimes hourly if we're watching the news. How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They say, slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the followers. How long shall the wicked endure? How long, God? We're pleading with you. Tell us your plans. But don't go farther than that. Don't ever even in your mind start saying you haven't done right. It would be an awful thing to be able to stand in the face of God and say, you haven't treated me right. God can't do anything but right. And the psalmist is not questioning His authority. He is just pleading with God, as they're singing the song now. He's pleading with God, tell me your plans. How long is it going to happen? We know you have the power. We know you can prevail in all things. All power is given to you in heaven and in earth. We know you can do it if you want to, but how long is it going to be? Pleading to understand His plan. Well, let's look at how He answers that. The provisions in the 14th verse. The provisions can still be provided and will be provided to His people. We're looking at Saul, our God reigns. He has authority, all powers. All principalities are subject to Him. He is in control. We forget that so often when we start, what if this happens? What if that happens? Well, does He reign or does He not? And if we could let our minds prevail in the thought, our God reigns, that means He rules. That means He has authority. That means the Bible says God does what He pleases. And if I say I do what I please, that's not good. And sometimes we do as we please, but that's not usually right. But God, who is powerful, who is perfect, can say rightly God does as He pleases because He pleases to do right. And God's already said now, if you'll recognize my power, and if you'll look to me, I'll provide all things. But now the prayer, the pleading is answered, begin in verse 14. Of the 94th chapter of the book of Psalms. For the Lord will not cast off His people, neither will He forsake His inheritance, but judgment shall return into righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. You see, God is a loving God, but God is also a God of judgment. And that loving God prevails us and causes us to bow at His feet, to honor Him, and to look to Him. And when we do as Isaiah did, He sees Himself. Not a pretty picture. But we sing about this morning, the blood of Jesus that covers it all. We know He went to the cross. He died for our sins. He rose victorious. He ascended to heaven, sent the Holy Ghost to convict us. And then when we say, Lord, I'm a sinner, forgive me of my sins, transgressions, and I look to You because that precious blood that You shed is on the mercy seat, and it will forgive my sins because it was shed to forgive my sins. And when I acknowledge that, the Lord cleanses me. He gives provision. If we refuse that, and that's the answer to the prayer, how long will you prevail How long will you just let all this wickedness go on? He's answering that question. There's a day of judgment. God judges. He holds the nations in his hand. He ordains powers. And God's also a God that can judge and will judge. We don't always understand that. We can plead all we want to. God, show me your plans. But one thing I have to know, he's going to do right. If God judges America, and I think he is, then we deserve judging. Why? Because God's righteous and we're not. If God looks at anyone and judges them and say, well, we see this scripture says, judgment shall return unto the right, unto righteousness. His judgments will be righteous. And all the upright in heart shall follow it. Have ye the upright in heart? Humble yourself, therefore, in the mighty hand of God. When we humble ourselves, we bow before him. We say, Lord, you're God. You're Lord of my life. That means you rule my life. That means you're in control of my life. That means I sin and you will forgive me of my sin. Make me more like you. As he is in this world, so are we. And when we strive to do that, the Lord blesses. Keep reading. Verse 16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, help me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the thorn of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. Listen to this. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is a rock of my refuge, and he shall bring upon them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. Question answered. How long will God wait? Lord, how long will you tarry? I'm pleading with you, Lord, until my judgment is finished. And then I will take care of it. And he'll do it right. Our job in the meantime is to humble ourselves before God, commit our lives to him. And in this evil day in which we live, I believe he could come at any moment, at any time. Like I say, if you're not saved by the grace of God and he comes and takes his children home, we think we've seen bad times. We haven't seen anything yet. Would you stand this morning in your headband? Miss Brenda, would you come to the piano, please? And Brother Ray, the organ, play anything God puts on your heart. Opportunity. Your thoughts are going to prevail all week and all day long on pretty much what you hear, what you see. Let's let it be on God. When it's on him, we see the power. And then we can plead to him. And then we realize that the provisions are going to be there. He promised, my provisions for my people will be there. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to dwell on that. I don't have to worry about all the problems. The only worry I really ought to have is keeping myself steadfast, unmovable, always bound in the work of the Lord. If you're not saved this morning, what an opportunity it is. The Lord's soon coming. You don't want to be left behind. And not only, I only just got saved to go to heaven. That's wonderful. But just think, I got saved as a 12-year-old boy. I've had all these many years to have his blessings, to have his companionship, to have his fellowship, to have all of the good things of God. Let my life prevail on that. So don't wait till a deathbed to say, I'll get saved, go to heaven. Hey, you're missing out on life. You're missing out on the greatest comforter, advocate you will ever know. Your heads are bowed. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your precious word. How we're reminded in this scripture and others that you, Lord God, reign. You rule in heaven and in earth. And you allow things because People will not recognize your power. They will not submit to it. So it's individual for us. Will I, as an individual, submit to it? And when I do that, Father, the provisions and the privileges from a place called heaven are mine. Such a simple thing. Not complicated at all. If I want the blessings of you, I want to be held in the palm of your hand and the peace given to me from another country, even in troubled times, I can have it. All I have to do is yield, ask forgiveness, come before a holy and righteous God and say, Lord, rule my life, control my life, when I sin, not if I sin, because we do sin, but when I sin, I know the Holy Spirit will convict me so I can repent. My advocate goes to the Father and says, it's a family matter. I've forgiven him. Oh God, this old world's not our home. We're just pilgrims, strangers passing through. But help us, Father, to realize we may not have long upon this footstool. Let us take advantage of every moment of every day to let our mind dwell on the things of God, which will push aside all the evil and all the hurt. Lord, I pray for those people that we see on TV fleeing, babies and mothers and children fleeing to another country. Lord, what if it were me? What if it was America? And it could be. If we do not repent as a nation, God, it very well could be. So help us, Lord, and help that country. Lord, the help's going to come from you, and most of them are not looking to that. But God, they're hurting. And you are merciful, God. And we're pleading, Lord, to help us come boldly to the throne of grace and submit to your plan. Your plan's perfect. We have all those provisions that you have given us already. And we are indeed thankful. Our heart is glad. In Jesus' precious, holy, wonderful name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Oh, man, we've still got people in the altar praying. Don't forget, as you leave this morning,